Greetings. It almost looks like one of those kind of weddings where this side doesn't have as many as this side does, and so the bride has more at this point. Well, welcome to chapel gathering this morning. Last semester in October, we had invited the Masters in Counseling to provide a chapel for us, and we were all very much blessed at that time of sharing. And LaDon did a lot of work with that, and I immediately offered an invitation for her to do that again. So she has accepted that, and I believe Nikki also shared a song with us at that time. So it's a privilege to have LaDon, who, by the way, will be graduating from Master's in Counseling in April, and she will then be entering her Master of Divinity at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. So we're going to have her around for a while. So, blessings to you, LaDon, as you share with us today. LaDon is a realtor, so if you're looking for property or noting property to sell, see LaDon. She has one daughter, Kendall, who's 13 years old, and it's a privilege again to have her with us. Pray with me. Lord, we invite your presence here among us, as we know that you are already here. So by faith, we open ourselves to know that presence. Thank you for the gift of the opportunity to gather together in this way. Bless LaDon as she shares, Nikki as she shares in song. Bless our prayers, our listening, our reflection, and our responding. Because of the exuberant love of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
I am in you. You are in me. When I get that, you have mercy on me. What does that mean? What I don't deserve, you give me anyway. I am in you, and you are in me. Feeling you call me, how could you possibly use me? I've been blind and deaf, but now I can see and hear. I experience your visceral emotion. I am in you, and you are in me, losing myself and what I used to be. In order to gain everything, I must relinquish all. As I meditate in your presence, you will not let me fall. I am in you, and you are in me.
Good morning. This morning I'll be reading from Mark 10, verse 17. Verse 17 to 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not fraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, but he had great wealth. Jesus looked around him and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers and sisters or mother or father or child or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them prostitution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Thank you for the word of God.
A reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, and then Matthew 10, 39. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho together with his disciples, a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man. "Be encouraged, get up, he's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. Those who find their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives because of me will find them.
Bless these scriptures, and may they personally release our full potential to serve Christ as we have been called and intended to be. I don't know about you, but unfortunately, I can personally relate to the rich young man in the parable who did not want to surrender all to God. All my life, I've been a Christian, but not one with an intimate relationship with God or the Holy Spirit. I was one that was pursuing my personal desires, goals of a successful business, the next great venture, and caught up in the doing, but leaving out the most important relationship I should have focused on, and that was with God. For me, it went career, family, then God, instead of God, family, and career. I'd gotten to a point within myself where I realized that I was broken, unfulfilled, empty, and completely burnt out. Like the rich young man, I could literally see, but I was spiritually blind. This was the beginning of the unraveling of my way of being as I knew it and had adapted to be as a result of my personal life circumstances, my trials, and upbringing. During this time of unraveling, I experienced a sense of losing it, being extremely depressed, but I hid it very well. As I began to explore these maladaptive parts of myself, I experienced feelings of fear, shame, guilt, denial, being overwhelmed, and intense pain. It felt like my world as I knew it was crumbling in around me. As I compared myself to the rich young man, I wondered what these overbearing parts were that was allowing the rich man and myself to be spiritually blind. I knew exactly what they were for me because I had journaled and illustrated about it in my journal and called the entry "Wilting Dying Flower." I drew this wilting dying flower that was dropping its petals grudgingly. Each petal represented a bad part of me, such as pride, shame, guilt, fear, sin, self-centeredness, ambition, bitterness, control, impatience, career, and caretaker of all, and that's just a few. With my personal interest and study of psychoanalyst Carl Jung, I spent time with each of these parts of myself using intertwined common threads and modalities of symbolism, synchronicity, and meditation that would open up a space for a closer spiritual experience that would take me to the inner depths of myself and my unconscious psyche. I experienced the Holy Spirit in profound ways that I had never experienced before. It was a physical bodily experience, a dialogue with the Spirit, and audible voices of affirmation and visions. This experience has been one of connecting body, mind, heart, and soul that has been a process of me creating healing, but one of also creating a piece of wellness and whole being as I continue to unfold the mysteries of knowing who I am in Christ. This process has been one of the most painful processes and disciplines that I have ever set out to experience. What God has revealed to me during this process is the shattering of a very strong ego. I also believe that is what the rich young man was clinging to. Maybe it was his pride, maybe it was his success, maybe it was his possessions, or an overbearing ego. Our egos are very strong and don't give up control easily. In fact, our ego reacts by controlling and instilling fear, anxiety, pain, and suffering within us. This past November, I had the privilege to attend a Michael Card Biblical Conference, and he just had a way of bringing the story of Bartimaeus alive in such a way that it resonated with me personally. Bartimaeus was the exact opposite of the rich young man. He was physically blind, he was a poor beggar, and he calls Jesus by name and asks for what he doesn't deserve. I personally related to Bartimaeus as well. I have been spiritually blind. I have been at this place of feeling depleted, poor, and empty, and I am crying out to Jesus and saying, I don't know how or what to pray for anymore. And I certainly know and have expressed many times, I don't deserve anything from God. So there Bartimaeus is sitting alongside the road, sitting in despair and in darkness, and allowing his ego to tell him, you are nobody. You deserve to be poor and blind. You are getting what you deserve because of your sins. Can you relate to being at this place? I can. However, what does Bartimaeus do? He could ask Jesus for coins or food, but instead he says, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. Mercy, or the Hebrew word hesed. He is asking for what he knows he does not deserve. Then Jesus responds by saying, go, you have been healed. So Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and he leaves it beside the road. And he leaves what he has, very little, and he follows Jesus. At the conference, Michael Card had us do an exercise where he asked us to replace Bartimaeus's name with our own name. If you did that, how would your story read in the place of Bartimaeus's? This is what mine revealed. Then they came to Briary Branch, Virginia. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving Briary Branch, a blind, self-absorbed, successful woman, LaDawn, that is the daughter of Grant and LaDawn, a plogger, was sitting by the roadside, broken and empty. When she heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, she began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked her and told her to be quiet, but she shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call her. So they called to the blind woman, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Swallowing her pride, opening her heart, and willingly allow God to strip her of all her false personas and reveal the false parts of herself, she sorrowfully and painfully came to her feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked her. LaDawn said, Rabbi, I want you to reveal to me my purpose and will for your kingdom. Show me who you intended me to be before my circumstances, my trials, my desires, my plans, and my overbearing ego took me off the narrow path. Go, said Jesus. Your faith and surrendering to me has healed you. Immediately, she experienced the Holy Spirit and a vision. She started receiving visions and words and instructions of what her calling and life purpose is. She now has sight beyond herself. She hears gentle whispers. And she has an understanding that it's all about seeing Jesus' face in all individuals that she meets and to whom she will serve. So I ask you to contemplate what your story would read and how God would respond to you. I also want to challenge you further. It is one thing to receive a calling, but what does it mean by whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it? I question and challenge you, are you using your entire God-given potential to fulfill God's will and purpose here on earth? God has been revealing to me that even though I have said that I have surrendered all to him, he keeps asking me if I really have surrendered all. During a time of meditation, he also revealed to me that I have great potential that I am not fully utilizing, which is a waste of my God-given gifts. I wonder if there are others here today sitting that have become comfortable where you are at and are not using your full potential as God has divinely given you. How do you know if you are underutilizing your potential? Spend quiet time in meditation and ask God to reveal that to you. Don't live comfortable. Don't live blind. Live fully in God's provision for your life. This may mean that you have to take some radical steps and leave your family and familiar places of friends and work as well. On the morning of January the 1st, when I was just waking up, God shared these words with me and said, "Stay so close to me that you lose sight of everything else you see." In my journal, I called this a waking dream. And I was awake and asleep, and I heard this, and I'm like, did I really hear this? And I'm fumbling for my pencil and my journal to write this down before I forget it. And then I'm still thinking, did I really just hear this? Is this God's voice that I just heard? And I thought, maybe it was a book that I read, and it was a quote I had read, and it came back to me. So I went downstairs and got on the internet, did a Google search, and I couldn't find it. And so it was like, okay, yes, this is God's message to me. Stay so close to me that you lose sight of everything else you see. What that meant for me is that while I am seeking God's purpose and will for my life, and seeking my full potential, that there will be worldly things that are impermanent that may try to take me off the narrow path. Michael Card's best friend, who I met at the conference, who is also a national author and songwriter and musician and now a retired pastor and also now my mentor, Scott Rowley, said that you have to be a slave to Christ and not ourselves and possessions. He said there is freedom in that when you serve Christ and Christ alone. This journey can sometimes feel so lonely. It can create fear and create ripples in your relationships with friends and family because we are no longer the person who we used to be. When we have a personal interaction with God and the Holy Spirit, we can't help to be different and to be changed. I have had family members tell me that I am crazy, and I too have often felt that I am crazy. But I know that I know I am right where I'm supposed to be. That is also my encouragement to you to be radical, to be crazy, to be open, and to be willing to fully serve Christ to your full potential with spiritual sight. Don't get caught up in friends and family's discomfort of discouragement and spiritual blindness. Remain steadfast, unshakable, and unmovable on what you know is true to your calling and to yourself. I have no doubt that God's vision is going to be far greater for you than you could ever imagine or try to orchestrate for yourself. Rabbi T.D. Jakes says, "Your walk with God comes with restrictions. Compromise what you used to have so that you can have what you're supposed to have." On the morning of January the 26th, during my time of meditation, God revealed this to me that I want to share with you. That morning, God said, "Beautiful one, as you spend one-on-one time with me this morning, notice the sound of your breaths as you inhale and exhale. The inhale and exhale are ebbs and flows with the energies of the universe. The inhale is like a wave from the ocean that is coming in with newness, and the exhale is the wave that is releasing all that is within you that you have been clinging to. Keep breathing and visualize each breath as a wave that is coming and going. That coming and going is also me, my energy that is within you, allowing this process to happen within you. As the strong waves come and go, it is strengthening you, but also giving you peace and rest. That is my gift that I give you right now, is peace and rest, as I bring each new wave in of newness and release clinging thoughts, feelings, and desires out to the vastness of the ocean, where these things get consumed and engulfed by the ocean and no longer seem too big or too difficult to let go of. I will take them out to the ocean for you and toss them around, swirling them with new people, new relationships, new desires, new plans, and a vision for your destiny. The ocean is full of many fish and opportunities. It is all for you to seek and to have. All you have to do is continue to be open by spending quiet time with me, inhaling and exhaling the waves as they come and go. Can you now smell the salt water? Can you now hear the ocean's waves? Can you feel the strength of the incoming wave that is within you? Can you now feel the calming joy and peace it brings to you? Look at life as an ocean of waves coming and going. The coming will be new people, relationships, circumstances, and opportunities. This will give you strength to be like the waves that are moving effortlessly with the natural energies of the universe. Can you just visualize that you are that wave? Sometimes that wave may be really big and crash, but hold on to the peaceful, soothing sound and motion that all comes. I am right there riding that wave with you that is releasing all of this into the vastness of the ocean for something new and beautiful that also gives you peace and rest. I have depths in the ocean that no one has ever seen or discovered. There are depths and opportunities in you too that you have not seen or activated. Keep allowing me to ebb and flow with new waves of opportunities and releasing old waves from your grasp so that your full potential can be revealed and released. There is much creativity and potential in your inner being that is trying to come forth. It is yours if you will fully surrender to this process and gain spiritual sight. So my prayer to each of you today is that you allow God to ebb and flow like the waves to your deepest, innermost being, allowing him to activate your full potential so that you can now lose sight and gain vision. Amen.